Woe to them! They have brought disaster upon themselves. Now listen to the way this can often turn out. Tell the righteous, it will be well with them, for they will enjoy the fruit of their deeds. Woe to the wicked! Disaster is upon them. They will be paid back for what their hands have done. Youths oppress my people. Women rule over them. Oh, my people, your guides lead you astray. They turn you from the path. The Lord takes his place in court. He rises to judge the people. The Lord enters into judgment against the elders and leaders of his people. And this is what he said as he entered into judgment against the elders and leaders of his people. It is you who have ruined my vineyard. The plunder from the poor is in your houses. What do you mean by crushing my people and grinding the faces of the poor, declares the Lord, the Almighty. Remember this passage, particularly verses 13 through 14, 13 through 15, where it tells us that the Lord takes his place in court, enters into judgment against the elders and leaders of his people. That takes us back to a passage of scripture that I shared with you some time ago when I was helping us gain a better understanding of the fact that saints of God are not gods. And I took us to Psalm 82, which is one of the passages of scripture that the people who like to say that saints of God are gods like to use. And listen now, God presides in the great assembly. He gives judgment among the quote unquote gods. And ask the question, how long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? By the way, I said he gives judgment among the gods. I said, quote, unquote, gods, because that's the way it's written in the NIV. Because they're letting us know, even though that's what they're called, that's not what they really are. Not the way they consider themselves to be gods. How long will you defend the unjust? Now, remember, now he's giving judgment. And ask the question, how long will you defend the unjust and show partiality to the wicked? Defend, that has to do with legal terminology. Defend the cause of the weak and fatherless. Maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed. Verse 5 says, they know nothing. They understand nothing. They walk about in darkness. All the foundations of the earth are shaken. Verse 6, he says, I said, you are, quote unquote, gods. You are all sons of the Most High, but you will die like mere men. You will fall like every other ruler. What is he saying to them there? But you will die like mere men. I said you are gods. Remember what he was telling them to do. He was asking the question, how long will you defend the unjust? How long will you show partiality? He really just came down on them for refusing to defend the cause of the weak and fatherless, etc. He was talking to people who, as I've said before, were representing God as judges. Remember, God gives judgment among the gods. God presides, this is Psalm 82 and 1, God presides in the great assembly. He presides like the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court. He presides in the great assembly. He gives judgment. He gives judgment. And he was judging them for refusing to represent him appropriately, properly, correctly in their judging, in their decision-making when they held court. Instead of doing the right thing and speaking out in behalf of the just, the one whose position was righteous, they defended the unjust. They showed partiality in their judging. They would not maintain the rights of the poor and oppressed, but rather they supported and upheld the agenda of the wealthy wicked. And because of that, God said, you'll die like mere men. They were supposed to be representing God, and you don't represent God as judge in the court if you're corrupt. You may have been assigned to, but you're failing to do your job. You may have been appointed to represent God, but just like there are sometimes preachers who are anointed and appointed by God to represent him as his spokesperson, and yet they're filthy, their lifestyles speak nothing of God. You have judges, especially in Israel's day, where there was no concept of the separation between church and state. It was all one and the same. And you have these judges who are supposed to be judging fairly, judging righteously, supposed to be rendering the decisions that God would render had he been on the earth, sitting on the court, making judgments himself. They refused to represent God. They wanted the status. They wanted the fortune, the money that came along with that position. But they refused. They did not want to speak in behalf of God. And so he said, okay, you're all sons of the Most High. I said, you are gods. Gods in this particular context, as I've said before, actually referring to the fact not that they were some kind of special being, but simply that they had special positions as men who were supposed to be speaking in behalf of God. The high priest was never a god. He spoke in behalf of God. And he would speak to God in behalf of the people. He would speak to the people in behalf of God, but he was not a God. He was a high priest. God said, okay, you had a lofty position and you had a great responsibility. But since you decided that you were not going to honor me in the way you carried out that responsibility, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to see to it that you die like mere men. Back to Isaiah chapter 3, verse 13. The Lord takes his place in court. He rises to judge the people. And notice specifically who he's judging. Verse 14. The Lord enters into judgment against the elders and leaders of his people. Very often, the leaders are the ones leading people astray instead of leading them straight. And God definitely holds them accountable. We're going to look at some more about what this means. But what are you picking up on here so far? Their spiritual health was in a shambles. Ruined his vineyard, plundered the poor. They came up with ways to get what little bit of wealth the poor had from the poor so that they could keep it themselves, the rich and the powerful, coming up with ways to take from the poor what little they had so that the poor would have even less and so that the rich would have even more. Does that sound familiar?